Thank you, Blake. Thank you for that introduction. Thank you to Gus and to the elders for having me here today. Part of the reason is that I just recently transitioned from the ministry of White Oak Christian Church in Cincinnati, where I'd been the senior minister for 10 years. And so we went through a succession process similar to the stuff that you are thinking about doing here at Licking Valley. So that's one of the reasons why I wanted to be here today to encourage the leadership that God does amazing stuff. I walked away on May 31st, so my successor, Nathan, has been at this for some time. In fact, for Nathan's situation, we installed Nathan as the next senior minister at White Oak on March the 1st. We are a multiple campus church, and so we installed the campus pastor for his particular campus on March the 8th, and you all know what Governor DeWine said on March 11th and 12th. And so March the 15th, we are not gathering anymore, just like you did not gather because of our large groups. And so Nathan has led through this whole pandemic time, and it has been a challenge for him, but he is doing an amazing, amazing job. And I'm praying for the same thing to be happening here at Licking Valley. Center for Church Leadership is in the greater Cincinnati area, and our role is to come alongside churches to encourage them in being healthy, in reaching their communities, and in having their staff be healthy as well. And one of the things that I want to just affirm here to the Licking Valley Church is that your sense of being a simple church, not simplistic, but a simple church, leads to amazing health, and you've been experiencing that. And so that is fun to see. Today, I want to look at Luke chapter 5, but as I'm getting into that, I want to tell you just a real quick story. One of the things that I loved when my kids were growing up is that I would often grab one of them and toss them up in the air. Any of you parents do that? Any of you? Come on. We all do it. We should probably have Children's Protective Service stop by once in a while just to make sure, right? But my kids loved that. They used to jump off walls. I never knew when I would get attacked out of a tree or any of those kinds of things. But just lifting them up and tossing them when they were younger. What was the thing that they had after you finished up and you were worn out, you put them back on the ground, started to walk away? What was the phrase they always said? Do it again. Do it again, Dad. Do it again. And you go back to doing the same thing. Well, now Nancy and I have 6 grandchildren. Our oldest is 10, so she's getting a little out of the tossing her into the air kind of situation. But our younger ones are doing the same thing now. And so I spend a lot of time giving piggyback rides and tossing them up in the air, chasing them through the house. Grandma's not excited about that whenever I do that. But chasing them through the house. And they jump off things and they say, do it again, do it again, do it again, Papa. Do it again. Do it again. One of the things that happens in our Christian walk after a period of time is that we begin to become routine. And we miss out on the excitement that often surrounded our baptism, often surrounded those first few walks. And in this COVID-19 time, because we've transitioned from this time, you know, I came around and talked to several of you here this morning, and it's just really different, isn't it? I mean, a number of you are going to go home today and say, I wonder who that masked man was that showed up in our presence. We don't have some of the same routines. We don't get to do the things that we used to do that built us up as Christians. And yet what we need to be asking is for God to do it again, to bring that about. I just want to affirm you as a church that in the midst of the COVID, in the midst of the challenges that you've faced, in the midst of the goal setting that you made at the end of 2019, that already you've seen 112 people decide to follow Jesus. That is pretty incredible. Can I just say thank you, God, for that. That is an amazing thing. Because for a lot of our churches, I don't care what kind of background you have, for a lot of our churches, we just kind of hunkered down and forgot to begin to speak to people about the hope and the promise in Jesus. Excuse me for the water each time. It's one of those dry times, right? Even though it's raining outside. I started to say this morning that I was going to do this as a weather report with all the wind that we're expecting, kind of like when the Holy Spirit showed up at Pentecost. But I know nobody wants a weather report here in Central Ohio, man. It is always crazy. We want to say to God, do it again. That's my prayer for you over these next several weeks and over this next year. God, do it again. Do the things that you've done to make Licking Valley an important part of your kingdom. Do it again, God. And in our own lives, rebuild the excitement and the enthusiasm, not from nostalgia, not because we want to go back and have days like in the past, but in effectiveness as we move forward. So I want you to say the words with me. Would you please do it again, Jesus? Ready? Here we go. Do it again, Jesus. Those of you who are online, say it with me. Do it again, Jesus. Those of you who are listening in the parking lot, say it with me. Do it again, Jesus. That's what we want to see happening in our lives. But you know, my everyday life is not all that exciting. I mean, you've ever had a day when you came in and you just kind of felt like you didn't accomplish anything? Oh, you may have been able to tick off most of your to-do list, but you didn't feel like it was very effective. I figured a few weeks ago that I'd come rolling into the office and get a lot done on a sermon that I was working on. And after all, with COVID, the office, very few people are in the office at that point in time. So I thought, I'm going to get a lot done. But you know what it's like, right? There are emails to respond to. There were phone calls to make. There were people in the hospital that needed cared for. There were a number of our seniors that are in lockdown in their places that just needed a phone call or some way to just kind of say thank you for them. And by the end of the day, I realized that I got a lot done on the list, but I had not been real effective in working on my sermon. I'm reminded of some things that happened in the New Testament character lives. You see, it's real easy for us to look back to that 2,000 years ago and say, man, life was just so simple then. They didn't have email. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have all this rumbling in their governments that we have going on in here. But hey, let me tell you, it was as crazy then as it is today. In Luke chapter 5, in fact, we're going to meet some guys, one guy by the name of Peter and his boat crew. And they had a list of things they needed to do. They had been fishing all night, and so they pull in, they've beached the boat, they get the nets out, excuse me, they clean and mend those nets. They eat breakfast because you fish at night in Israel. You don't fish during the day, too hot. They, excuse me, they're getting ready for the next night, and they've gone through the list. It had been a long and unproductive night for them, but they had to do what was necessary for the next night because that's how they made their living. Every day was the same. And so it was time for a fresh start there that day. With the challenge of COVID-19, we are praying for fresh starts and fresh opportunities, fresh reminders of the work of the kingdom through Licking Valley's influence. And so today I want you to think refocus. I want you to think about asking God to do it again. And when we say do it again, what is the it that we're asking for? Well, we're asking for that new thing that Jesus did 2,000 years ago when he came preaching the good news of the kingdom of God, the gospel. I mean, I know that you look at our purpose, our mission, our vision, our ministry here at Licking Valley. And what does it look like to be a church and an individual in 2020 moving into 2021? Well, I'm captivated by this story here in Luke chapter 5. As Jesus commandeers a boat for preaching, and he came to this place, he's surrounded by people who are wanting, with great anticipation, want to hear what he has to say. And while the fishermen are surrounded by empty nets, apathy, and a lack of enterprise, it is such a contrast that Jesus has all this enthusiasm around, and the guys are so disappointed. But when Jesus gets into their boat, everything changes. Let's look at Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. It says this: on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret. That's the Sea of Galilee that we think about. Oftentimes it's called in Israel today, Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, that's interesting. Here's a stranger comes along and just gets into your boat. Any of you have boats at the lake? Can you imagine what that would be like? Guy comes along and just pops into your boat. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. Which was Simon's. And he asked him to put out a little from the land. And as he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. Now, you have to stop for just a minute and realize that we don't read sarcasm and we don't read the incredulousness in this verse that's there. Simon says, wait a minute, I've done this all my life. And I've been out all night and nothing happened. And you want me to go out now in a time when we don't fish? Well, he continues on. But at your word, Simon says, I will let down the nets. And when they'd done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, Depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. There's some things I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture. First, let's set the scene. The Sea of Galilee, called here Gennesaret, by Luke, is about 8 miles wide and 13 miles long. Now, if you put that in our picture here, that's the distance from here to Nashport, 13 miles. Take 4 miles on each side of that. That's how big this lake is. It's a pretty amazing, amazing place. It's 700 feet below sea level. Now, Death Valley here in the United States is 272 feet below sea level. So the Sea of Galilee is twice as deep below sea level. So it's in this valley. It's in this place where there would be amazing storms and challenges that would take place. It's about 60 miles northeast of Jerusalem. It's about 25 miles east of the Mediterranean Sea. And so it's a dangerous place. You know, it's amazing to set this. It'd be like the Mediterranean Sea, although it's west, would be in Columbus. And we'd be right on the ocean almost. And we'd have this amazing sea right beside us. The boats that the guys were using are very similar to this boat that we have here on this picture. It held probably about 15 men, and they would go out and fish. This was found in the 1980s near the north end of that sea. And it's big enough to bring in a catch. You can imagine it's going to ride really low. And so once they start putting the fish in, it's going to sink it pretty quickly. And that's the challenge that they faced. The sea is fed by the Jordan River as it comes in from the north, and then it flows on out to the south to the Dead Sea. And so it's a very active sea. Most of the fishing is done in the north end of the sea because that's where the fresh water is coming in. In fact, Israel still uses it to fish in. In 2010, they closed the sea to allow it to replenish. And once again, people are fishing in the Sea of Galilee. And all that is to be said because the livelihood of these guys depended upon catching fish every day. You see, we think in our work situation, we get paid probably most of us on a weekly basis, maybe every couple of weeks or something along those lines. These guys only got paid when they caught the fish. And so they had just finished a night when they had earned nothing for their work. And that's going to have implications for days ahead for them. They're preparing their nets now for the next night. They're repairing and cleaning and drying them. And then Jesus walks up. And because there's such a great crowd, Jesus needs a place where he can kind of be separated from the people in order to speak. And so he asked Peter to use his boat as a platform. Now, for you and me, we're thinking, well, how does a stranger do this? Well, let's do the backstory here for a minute. Peter gave up the boat because we read in the Gospel of John that Andrew had introduced Jesus to Peter. And Andrew, Peter's brother, and Peter had been hearing Jesus speak. So they understood him as a speaker, as a teacher. They'd spent some time listening, and maybe even they'd followed him a while, but now they're back to normal, back to work. So when Jesus steps into the boat, Peter quickly responds and says, sure, I'll pull out from the shore. But something amazing is about to happen. Something's going to break into his normal routine in a way that Peter had no idea of guessing. Now, some of you are here today and you've been following Jesus for a while. And maybe you've built up a routine and things are just kind of commonplace for you. You've been listening all along, but things are kind of usual for you, and you're kind of losing some of that excitement and losing some of the power that the Holy Spirit gives to you because the everyday cares of life have begun to press against you, and your enthusiasm for the things of God has begun to dim. If you spend any time listening to the news, or if you know there was this thing called an election in our country recently, and just the way in which the pressing down of hope and of dreams and so forth on whichever side of the aisle you're on. Man, I don't care whether I'm talking to a Democrat or a Republican. It's tough. And when we look at our economy, some challenges are taking place there. And as a believer, sometimes it's real easy to lose sight. And that's why I'm wanting to ask today that you would pray, do it again, Jesus, do it again. Work in my life in a way that the excitement's there as well as the effectiveness. Well, Jesus tells Peter to head into the deep water. Peter can hardly believe his ears. I mean, after all, he's the fisherman. He's been a fisherman for years. And even though he's heard Jesus teach, he's going, wait a minute. This guy's a carpenter. He builds things on land. I've been a fisherman all the way along. We always go to the north end of the sea. That's where we fish all night because we don't fish during the day. I know the best places and the best times to fish. And we went to all those places last night at exactly the right times. And it would be useless to cover the same ground again. Sometimes that's true in our own lives, right? When Jesus is calling us to reach out to our family and to our friends. I have a brother-in-law who for many, many years was a part of a cult. And he and I would talk, and we were somewhat friendly, but we really could have had a very hard time ever talking about Jesus. We prayed for him for 40 years. And in just these last few years, it's been an amazing work of God that finally he has begun to follow Jesus, which is incredible. I mean, it's the same thing over and over again. He didn't come to family gatherings because those kinds of celebrations weren't a part of his experience and so on. So yeah, sometimes it felt useless to cover the same ground, and yet God did something in the midst of that experience. You know, you've heard people say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Well, that can be true, and because of those kinds of experiences, sometimes we get skeptical and just believe, God, you really can't break into my situation. You really can't make a difference in where I'm living. And we become skeptical about that, God doing something different in our circumstances. See, it's really easy for us to focus on our struggles and let those define us and not look at the things that God's doing around us. It's so easy to believe that our struggles define us. We need someone to interrupt that thinking. And that's what happens here in the boat. There's just a little three-letter word that comes between master, we toiled all night and took nothing, and at your word, I will let down the nets. And it's that word, but. That word, but, says everything after this is going to be different. Everything before does not define us. Everything after is going to be different. And here we go. At your word. This is my clue that something's about to happen. Man, I hope when you're reading scripture, you're paying attention to the but words, the and words, the whatever words. Those kinds of words tell us something's happening, and we need to read the word with anticipation. I mean, while I'm skeptical at times about life, there's one truth that I know. When I become skeptical, when I'm feeling depressed or disoriented, it's generally because I'm not spending enough time reading God's word. I know how difficult that is for us, but I also know that one of the most exciting things in spending time on some of the mission fields we have, White Oak has a large mission in India, and one of the things that we have done in that mission is that we've made very sure that we've lifted up education among the poorest of the poor in India. So we help with people going to school, we help with their supplies, we make sure that they get there on time. And the reason for that is that the leader of the mission said this. He said, if we can teach people to read, then they can read God's word and it will begin to change their lives. And can I tell you, when you're in India, when you have a Bible, it is revered. You don't ever lay the Bible down on the ground. You don't ever let the Bible be lower than a table because they read it. And sometimes in those villages, the older people have the young kids reading the Bible because the older people don't read. So can I encourage you to be reading the Bible? Maybe it's on your app. I mean, I do my Life Forward Bible study every day. I do it on the phone. You can do that. It's very, very easy, folks. You don't have to have a paper copy. But I love having a paper copy, and I hope you do too. So are you caught in a place right now where you're skeptical, where you're just not sure what the future is going to bring? Then it's time to read the Bible. It's time to be in a group with people who read the Bible. That's why life groups are so important here. That's why being a part of a Bible fellowship on the weekend, a Sunday school class, is important, that you're together with others. If you don't know what it says, it's hard to be obedient to what God is asking you to do. So getting into the Word means being a part of a group, whether a weekend class or one of our life groups. So check out a group. You can do that personally or you can do it online. Now, all of a sudden, we realize this story is not so much about the miracle of the fish as it is about building Peter's faith. If he fails to trust Jesus, he's going to miss the best that God has for him. And what happens next will build his faith in Jesus as a provider and protector. You see, every time there's a miracle in the Bible, here's what happens. It brings attention to Jesus as God, and it builds the faith of those who will listen. And it hardens the heart of those who don't want to listen. So when you're reading through Scripture and you begin to see there's something that you need to change, are you willing to do that? Or are you going to let it harden you and say, I really don't need to do that? I want to encourage you to be open to the things that God's going to do in these next few weeks. We may not be able to gather together in our traditional family Thanksgiving meetings. My guess is there's going to be something amazing happen if you're not able to do that. We may not be able to do the Christmas stuff that we usually do. My immediate thought is God's going to do something amazing in the midst of that. We may not be able to get together in some of the traditions that we've had before. God may be saying, I got something more exciting for you than what you've ever seen before. I don't know, but I'm expecting that. Here's what happens in the Scripture. It says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astounded at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners of Simon. You see, these are the four guys, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, that we read so much about in the New Testament. These are the guys who are going to step on the front line when Jesus comes back from the dead. And these are the guys who in this situation all of a sudden realize what we have in front of us is somebody who's not just a good teacher, he is God. And he's the one who's going to tell them a little bit later on, hey, I'm going to die on your behalf. And they're going, yeah. No, not only that, I'm going to raise from the dead. Can I tell you something? That when somebody tells you they're going to die and then they're going to raise from the dead and then they do it, you better pay attention. You better pay attention. That's why Jesus can change our lives. Because he's not just a teacher. He's not just someone who has good words. He's someone who stepped up on the cross, died on our behalf, rose from the dead, and sits at the right hand of God today. Has given us the Holy Spirit and incredible power, folks. So things can really be changed in our lives. These guys recognize their nets are breaking. They call in reinforcements. They're scrambling to land the catch and to keep the boats from sinking. The chaos and the noise must have been horrendous and overwhelming. Peter immediately realizes that he's in the presence of no ordinary man. And similar to the Old Testament statement where Isaiah says, oh, woe is me, man of unclean lips. Peter says, I am not worthy to be standing in your place. I am a sinner. Surely God would not want to be in the same place where I am. Peter's unworthy of his presence. See, here's one of the things that's true about this good news. This good news lets me see myself as I am, allows me to speak that to God, and God forgives it. Grace is not about the fact that whatever you want to do is okay. Grace is about recognizing that the things that are going on in my life break God's heart. I have no stand to be in his presence, but because of the blood of Jesus, I can be in his presence. And so there's that aspect of me saying to God, God, I don't deserve to be in your presence. Get away from me. I am a man of unclean lips. I am a sinner. See, I can't follow Jesus without being able to say the words, I'm a sinner. It's not just, oh, whatever you want to do. It is, I'm a sinner. And Jesus says, come on, I'm in the boat. Jesus says to him, don't be afraid. Because when you're in the presence of God, your first response is to be afraid. And then when the Father says, you don't have to be afraid, come on in, man. I'll tell you where this popped in. This is a freebie for you. I didn't have it in the text. This is what happened when young guys would come to date my daughters. They would come in. You know, every high school kid thinks he's the greatest thing, right? And I would be sitting in a chair. I'm 6'4". I weigh about 220. But I'd be sitting in this chair, kind of scrunched over. The kid would walk in. They'd say, hi, Mr. Schunkweiler. And I would stand up, unwind, and stand in front and say, you're about to take the most precious person in my life out. You screw this up, I'm not afraid to go to jail. But then after a couple of times, they'd get to know me and they would begin to be relaxed and so forth, because that's what Jesus does. When Jesus stands up in the boat, Peter knows how he is sunk at that point in time. And Jesus says, don't be afraid, you're on my team. Man, maybe you experienced that same kind of thing when you were dating your wife, guys, when the dad stood up. That's what this feeling is right here. He says, now you're going to catch men. In essence, I want you on my team. He's telling him, Peter, I'm going to partner with you in accomplishing my purpose for the church, and you are going to be amazed at what we're going to happen. There's three things I want you to learn today from this text. Number one is this. This passage teaches me to trust. It teaches me to trust in God, that God will do what he promises, to realize that Jesus is the right guide who will take me to the right place and give me the right challenge. And that as long as I'm walking with Jesus, those things are going to happen. Are there going to be difficulties? Absolutely. But he's going to be the right guide to the right place and the right challenge. I learned a little bit about this one summer when I went deep sea fishing in the Atlantic Ocean. Here's a picture, I think, of that happening. Anyhow, I had the right guide, the right place, the right challenge, and I caught that right fish. Man, what a battle we had. That guy took us to the right place. We got this, and he put that fish put up an amazing fight. Man, he was hard to land, and that's my cousin in there. And I apologize to all of you. You can see I have my IU hat on. I'm a Hoosier. I did wear scarlet and gray just for you Buckeyes today to make sure. But that was an amazing experience because we had the right guide, the right place and the right challenge, and we trusted him. The other thing that was true is I could never have caught this fish staying on the beach. We were 20 miles out into the Atlantic when we caught this thing. That's true of your life too. God wants you to get off the beach and into the deep water. And that means it's going to be scary at times walking with Jesus. We all pray, God be with me, keep me safe. Really, the scripture here is, God be with me, put me in the scariest places possible, and do your will. Did you sign up for that? I hope when you do the beginning courses that we have here at Licking Valley, you hear that, because we're not just calling you to come and be comfortable. We're calling you to come and comfort those who are in distress. Man, it's only when I put out into deep water I can see God at work. As long as I try to play it safe, I'm not trusting him. My effort to become more efficient and useful in life is done in my power, and there's no joy. That's why so many of us are worn out, because we're doing it in our own power. In my attempts to serve, my kind words are going to be misunderstood. My efforts are going to be pushed aside and unappreciated, and it's going to reflect on me. When I put Jesus first, I may still be misunderstood and I may still have people who don't care for me, but the reality is they're looking at him and not at me. I must trust that he's at work and launch out again into that deep water. And so I'm praying for you that in the midst of the COVID-19, the coronavirus pandemic, that you are walking out into deep water and that you're listening and loving people. Second thing I want you to realize here, as we say, do it again, Jesus, is that I have to tremble. I tremble. Why does Peter tremble? When he realizes that Jesus was more than a good teacher, that he is God, he trembled. And we sang that song just a few minutes ago. And like Peter, we all have to tremble with the fact that we disconnect, the disconnect between our sinful lives and the purity of God. But we realize that that bridge is crossed by Jesus, and because of his blood being shed on our behalf, we align our lives with God when we choose his way. We trust him. Yes, we tremble, but then we begin to tremble with excitement over what he's doing in our lives. I tremble because God's so amazing. I tremble because he wants a relationship with me. I tremble because God wants to change my life. And why does God want to change my life? Because he wants to change the world through me, one person at a time. And there are certain people only I can talk with. He tells me not to be afraid, that he'll care for me. He accepts me, and there's no doubt about it. Do it again, Jesus. Do it again. I mean, throwing my grandkids in the air, there's lots of laughter now. But there was terror at first, right? You remember the first time you tossed one of them up in the air, the eyes get this big around, like, what are you doing to me? And then all of a sudden there's laughter. And that's the same kind of thing that happens in my Christian walk. First time God launches me out in places where I'm not comfortable, my eyes are filled with terror. And then he does something in my life. I go, I want to do that again. Maybe it's an outreach event. Maybe it's an opportunity to go on a mission trip, whatever it might be. God does amazing things. Third thing I want you to realize, trust, tremble, and then the third thing is tackle. Now, I'm not talking about Friday night football. I'm not talking about going to the horseshoe. I'm talking about this idea that we jump directly into a task without trusting God and trembling before him, but we still have to tackle whatever he's given to us. If we tackle without trusting and trembling before God, it's like being on a treadmill. We don't get anywhere. We're exhausted and we're sweating a lot, but we're not getting the job done. We all feel like we've accomplished something just because we're busy. But those two things rarely equate, accomplishment and busyness. Just like that Wednesday coming in, I didn't get anything done because I was on the treadmill. I was tackling something, but I wasn't trusting God and I wasn't trembling to begin with. I know it sounds a little forced, but I mean, here at Licking Valley, what we're challenging people to do is that each of us are challenged to partner with God to accomplish his purpose or his mission here. We say that we're about taking your next step with Jesus. And that's in those four words of begin, believe, become, and build. And then we say, do that together. It takes every one of us here to do that. You are made for more. Where does he want you to cast your net? Where does he want you to discover his greatness, to catch his fish? I have to warn you, it means you're going to have to change. I like what Mark Twain wrote many, many years ago about change. He said this, the only one who likes change is a wet baby. Yeah. I mean, breaking out of the old tired routines is one of the secrets for staying young and energetic. And for us to reach the world at the end of 2020 and into 2021, changes will have to happen to us, in us. So the question that we ask today as we close is this, if Jesus got into your boat, what would change? And here's the reality to all of you who are believers, Jesus is already in the boat and he is changing things. He speaks to your faith. He speaks to your profession. He speaks to your dreams. He speaks to your relationships. He speaks to you today and he speaks to your life. So my prayer for you is do it again, Jesus. Do it again. And we can live in expectation. We can look for something different. And we can listen to his word for what we do. So I want to encourage you. If you haven't been a part of Beginning Point yet, you need to jump into that. Every day through the end of this year and through the transition that we have, be praying for God. Do it again, Jesus. Do it again. Choose something. Decide to follow Jesus now. Would you pray with me, please? Father, it's in this moment that we're reminded again that you're God and we are not. And we see amazing things that you do. Help us to celebrate that in a way that brings glory and honor to you. And we look forward to you every day, Lord, we pray. Do it again, Jesus. Do it again. And we pray that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said together.